Amen. Let's go ahead and pray to get started this morning. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this morning, dear Lord.
Yes, yes.
Dear God, we just ask that this morning your presence be upon us. Dear Lord, I ask that the words that are spoken are your words, Heavenly Father, that teach us what you want us to know, dear Lord. And I pray this morning that anointing be upon us, that your Holy Spirit be here this morning, dear Lord. And we just ask you this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, this morning, I actually had something else in mind that I wanted to kind of talk about. But on Father's Day, as we're standing there, all the fathers are standing up in front, and we were getting prayed on. I'm looking around, and as Pastor John had mentioned, I said, that's beautiful when you have a church that are full of men, godly men, because you don't see that in a lot of churches. Right, and not just churches. There's a lot of places that we don't see that, and it's missing in a lot of places. And it's missing in a lot of churches. You know, men that are willing to step up to the plate and take the responsibility of being a man and doing the things that God wants us to do as a man. And like I said, a lot of churches don't have that. So, you know, nothing against the women. There's great women that do great jobs.
Yes.
But it's missing in a lot of the churches, and a lot of women have to take on that responsibility and put that on their shoulders to do the things that in reality it's for the men to do. Amen? So, with that in mind, I just kept thinking, and I got home, and, you know, I had other things I wanted to talk about, but that kept coming up to mind. You know, fathers, that word father just came up to mind. And something else came up on the news, and I was just flipping to the TV and the news, and that word came up again about fatherless. So what I'm going to talk about this morning is about fatherless or father. And it says, there's a father absence crisis in America. According to the U.S. Census Bureau, 19.7 million children, more than one in four, live without a father in the home. That's a big number. And believe me, the kind of business I do, we're always involved in numbers. And that right there, 19.7 million children, that is a lot. And it says more than one in four live without a father in the home. Consequently, there's a father factor in nearly all social ills facing America today. In other words, because of this number right here, you know, no fathers, that reflects on society today.
Yes.
That has a huge impact on our society.
Mm-hmm.
And here it is. It says on that fine print writing up there, it says this. There's a crisis in America, according to the U.S. Census Bureau, and those numbers are up there. But it says, research shows when a child is raised in a father absent home, he or she is affected in the following ways. And that's what we're going to look at. We're going to look at how these factors impact our kids or society today. And when I say kids, we need to understand that those kids will become adults. So that impact that they're having now as a teenager, okay, if it's not dealt with, or if they're not able to work on it, this will affect their adulthood. And those are people that we have a lot today in our society. And a lot of that they're doing now is because of how they were affected as a teenager, okay, or as a young adult without a father in their lives. And the first one is, it says four times greater risk of poverty. The other one is more likely to have behavioral problems. You see that? Two times greater risk of infant mortality. We see that a lot.
Yep.
Abortion.
break?
Yes.
I don't know if you guys saw.
It was a couple of weeks ago. They had a video of a guy, his girlfriend or wife, I don't remember what it was going to have an abortion. And I think it was his wife, because they had a couple kids together. And he was standing outside the abortion clinic crying for his wife, begging her not to go in there. And they wouldn't let him go in there. You know, and his rights were, you know. But his girlfriend or wife, whoever she was, you know, went in there. And it just boggled my mind, you know, that here you have somebody who wants the child.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and one person makes the decision, and that's supposed to be like the supreme decision. Nobody can question that decision. Yeah. And it was just sad to see, you know, you're talking about the infant mortality. And here, this child would have had a father. Somebody denied that right to him. It was sad. I don't know if you guys saw it or not, but, you know, it just shows you where we've headed in this country, that somebody can make a decision like that independent of anybody else. Scary thoughts.
And there's more people looking for babies to adopt than there are babies available.
Yes.
So it makes
There's more people wanting to adopt babies than there are babies available. Supply and demand isn't working in this case, is it? So it's not natural, right? Why would, if somebody is just dying to have a child to love, and here somebody has one and doesn't love it, it looks like that's a perfect match, right? Why would you end a baby's life? It's a spiritual battle, just like you said, because it makes no sense in the physical.
I mean, yeah, like Pastor Don just mentioned, I mean, you know, who knows that young lady or that person, maybe she didn't have that father figure in her life. So for her, she doesn't know how her husband feels or is feeling, you know, to be denied, you know, that beautiful gift of being a father to a child. Yes, Sharon.
My memory is not the greatest, so I forget who had the teaching that I had heard this from, but they said that within the first 12 years of a child's life, you need to lay a solid foundation, or you're going to struggle in them 10 years.
Yes.
That's when you really need the foundation laid.
Yep. Amen. One of the other points is more likely to go to prison. I'm sorry.
You know, one of the things that comes to my mind is, and just right beginning this, it seems kind of sad. You know, you hear these statistics and whatnot. The sad thing is the church. You know, all too often we come in here and we understand them statistics, we see it, but what are we going to do about it? Because this is, to me, a great opportunity. If there was no opportunity, what are we going to do as Christians? What are we going to do to build a kingdom? We're going to make something up? We don't have to make something up. It's available to us to do something about it. So it's not about understanding this. It's about what are we going to do about it?
Mm-hmm.
See, that's the tough question. What are we going to do about it?
That's right.
What are we going to do about the kids that don't have a father? Are we going to invite them into our home, into our life, and walk with them,
right,
journey with them? Because they're not going to be the perfect kid. Are you going to walk with them through their turmoil and their issues that they brought with it? So you got to ask yourself, where is that? We're in the midst of a perfect opportunity in this world to let Christ shine, to let the Father of all fathers be a father to those that were lost, those that didn't have that opportunity. But it's time for us to rise up and do that.
We're even more so than... Oh, I'm sorry. I missed a week. I'm out of tune.
Yeah. It's even worse that the church should take some responsibility for those being lost. When those laws were being made in the 50s and 60s, show me some protests from the church against it in mass. There isn't. You don't wait till after the law is passed and then try and change it, right? You change people's mind beforehand is a lot easier. The church was silent. That is the biggest sin, is to be silent. Never be silent.
I think part of what I had heard from people back then was they didn't believe that it could happen, that our Constitution and everything was supposed to protect And that was never supposed to be passed, but the Supreme Court was never supposed to make laws. You know, so that shouldn't have happened. But I do praise God for our church that we are teaching men to be men and how to be fathers and how to be fathers to those who don't have fathers. Because even the fathers that are in the homes nowadays, they don't know how to be a father. They are so busy with their own lives and both parents working that they, the children aren't getting the attention that they need.
Might get back to your teaching. Right?
It's our responsibility as a parent, as a mother, and as a father to take a hold of those children that do. Like Kenny said, or Debbie said not too long ago, where she got to sit with her, the kids that she raised up. They weren't just her kids. They were all the church people. They were the people in the church. They were the Lindenbauers. They were Sammy and his kids. And before they were even married, or, you know, we helped them. Like, I've been helped. I was helped. If I hadn't had the help of Pastor Don, of other women ministering to me, older women ministering to me, I would never be where I'm at today. But with that, I mean, it's taken 15 years to get a lot of stuff done. But it's our responsibility to stay consistent in the church, being fed the word and teaching and learning and reading the word and worshiping God and in prayer, and all the women that help us and encourage us and edify us. We can't do it by ourselves, but it's our responsibility. It's our responsibility to stand up and say when wrong is wrong and right is right. And if we're not going to do it, then that's our fault that our kids are being thrown to the wayside, that my sons or daughters are not living the way God wants us to live, in his ways and in his word. And we're not going to be able to heal within our hearts if we don't do that, if we don't walk under the covering of a pastor. People think that you can just come and go, you know, that you're living in the world and you're living in the church. No, God wants holiness, or he's going to spit you out. He says it in his word. He's going to spit you out. If I'm not here with Pastor Don, and sometimes it is hard. Sometimes I do want to walk away. Sometimes I don't want to do the right thing. But you know what has been good is that God has allowed me to settle me down to do the right thing. Thank God that I had been submitted, you know, because it was challenging. It was hard. But thank God I had you people to love on me in the hard and in the ugly times. Thank God. So this is true. All this is true, what he's teaching about the men. If we're not here to uplift and encourage those men that come in our church, then shame on us.
The other one is more likely to commit a crime. Prisons are full.
Yes.
7 times more likely to become pregnant as a teen. More likely to face abuse and neglect. How many times do we see that on the news? Another kid being neglected or being abused.
By foster parents.
Why? Because of, and this is our in reference or because of the fatherless home. Another one is here, is more likely to abuse drugs and alcohol. We see that all the time in the news. Kids dropping dead because of overdose. 14, 15, 16-year-olds dying because of overdose. Why? Because dad's too busy. Nothing wrong with making money, but dad's spending a little too much time trying to make that money, trying to justify what I got to feed my family. Is he really doing that? Or is he just making more money so he can have more money to spend it on other things? That happens a lot. It happens a lot. So now he has a teenage son that doesn't have his father at home. Dad's just too busy working. Where's dad? Oh, he's working. Where's dad? Oh, he's working. Where's dad? Oh, he's working. It's Sunday. I know. Dad's working. So what's that teenager going to do? He's going to try and find that father figure that he doesn't have in his life. Yeah, dad's home. Physically, he's at the house. When he gets off work, he's there. But that kid's looking for that father figure. Somebody to talk to. So what does he do? He starts finding friends. And a lot of times he doesn't find the right friends. So now that kid is a lot of times doing every single one of these. two times more likely to suffer obesity, and the last one is two times more likely to drop out of high school. I say that all the time. Why or how can this affect us as Christians? Poverty. Without Christ in our, as our Father, we run the risk of losing His blessings and can be spiritually poor. And these are all points of reference to that chart. The second one is behavior problems. God says to love one another. Without Father to guide us, or Father to guide us, how can we love? If we're not getting that from our Father and our Mother, but for today we're speaking directly to our fathers. It says, so we, if we don't have that, if we don't have that person teaching us what love is, well, how can we love? We have nobody teaching that. Right? With my son, I teach him, okay, this is a screwdriver, this is this. I can't yell at my son if one day I said, hey, you know what, I need a flathead. Which one's that one? I can't get mad at him. I'm not teaching him. Right? I'm there, but I'm not spending that time with him. You know, a lot of times, Father has, you know, we get this idea that because we're in their home, that we've fulfilled that obligation as a father. That's 100% wrong. We need to spend time with our sons and with our daughters. Yep. Right? And most importantly of all, is teaching them God's ways. That's so crucial, because if we're not doing that, our kids become these statistics. Yep. Every single one of them, sons and daughters. Yep. They talked about, you know, early pregnancy. How many times have you seen these teenage girls, 14, 15 years old, thinking that they're in love, and the great thing to do is have a baby right now? They have no clue what it is. No.
What are they teaching? They're giving out contraceptives to 11-year-old girls and stuff.
What are they showing them, right? Behavior starts being taught in the home.
Yes.
Through the Word of God.
Yes.
Period.
Yes.
And the parents' actions both, absolutely. But we don't have that anymore. Behavior is a bad word, like discipline.
Oh, yeah. We don't want that word.
No.
And when we go to parent-teacher conference, it's sad to say that a lot of times when they have the parent-teacher conference, look around and see how many parents are there.
Yep.
300 students, 20 parents. 600 students, 30 parents. Where are they? The teachers, you know, and yet we want to yell at them, well, it's your job to teach my kid. Yes, to a degree. Academics.
Yep.
I think he was 20 years old, football coach, telling me that he's yelling at my kid in football because his job is to turn him into a man. You're 20. You have no clue what it is to be a man. You just got out of high school, pretty much, yeah? Yet it's your job, you think it's your job, to teach my kid how to be a man. No, that's my job.
But if you don't do it, there'll be plenty of people there.
Yes.
The wrong way.
Yes. So it's behavior problem. God says to love one another. Without our Father to guide us, how can we love? Mortality. Without God, our Father, in our life or in our heart, you are spiritually dead. If we are not mortality. Without God, our Father, in our life, we are spiritually dead. If you are not serving God, the Father, then we will be imprisoned by the enemy. And that was referenced about being in prison. You know, if we're not serving the Lord, if we're not seeking God, the enemy has plans for you. His job, his sole job, is to destroy you spiritually, to bring you down. And I tell you what, if we don't have that father figure in our kids' life, like Bob just said, oh, believe me, there's a lot of people out there that want to step up to the plate. And not in a good way. Not in a good way. I mean, we see that all the time about, I know that Rachel, when she went to on the other side of the world. You know, they grab these kids at a young age to take them out there, you know, for prostitution and everything else. You know, and if we're, again, if we're not a father that's stepping up to the plate to teaching our kids what's right and what's wrong, you know, the world's going to be out there and they think they can do a better job in doing that. But you know what? Shame on us if we're not the ones doing it. I can't blame nobody else if I'm not doing my job. See, in my job, I have a certain area that I do. I cover all of Michigan and half of Ohio. And we have numbers that we run. And those numbers show Ohio and Michigan. Well, I can't turn around and say, well, look, you know what? This guy over here ain't doing his job. You know, his numbers are down. Well, no, we're talking about Michigan and Ohio. That's my numbers. That's my responsibility. I can't blame somebody else for what I'm supposed to do. Yes.
You know, one of the things when you talk about responsibility is responding to your ability to do something. And the other thing is when you talk about responsibility and things that we got to do in this life, our lives are busy and it's filled with a lot of responsibility. What we forget is that it's filled with privilege. The things that he's speaking about is it's a privilege to turn around and be a father. It's a privilege to turn around and serve others. Yes, that privilege comes with a responsibility. But never forget that it's a privilege that God's given us to be that, to do that.
Yes,
it's not just work. It's a privilege that involves work.
Yeah,
it's a high calling. It's a priestly calling. And the world gets us to think of it as something other than what it is so that we don't even want to do it because they don't want to do it. Let us not forget that it's a high calling to turn around and step into that situation and be that for God, not just for the individual, because we do all things unto God.
Amen. It says, getting or staying away from his presence, we are more likely to sin or commit a crime. That goes into that part about committing crimes. Right? If we're not doing what we're supposed to do as a parent, the world is just full of junk out there. There's just so many things to entice. I remember when I was growing up, we used to have the Boys Club. We used to have so many youth programs out there. Where are they? Somewhere down the line, you know, they forgot that, you know what, those kids will become men and women in the future. And if we're not investing in them now, Pastor Don and Pastor John, they do an awesome job with those high school kids that come over.
Yep.
That is a great, awesome program.
Yep.
Sharon.
And making sure that as we're teaching our children, that they realize that the only way that they can make good choices is if they have Jesus in their heart.
Yes.
And that they're empowered by the Holy Spirit to do so. If not, they're going to make bad choices.
Yes.
And making sure that when they make them bad choices, they know that they are loved and still accepted from God.
Yes.
Because if we don't, the world is teaching them all their feelings and all their emotions and everything that they desire to do is okay to do. They're going to be there for your child. So you better make sure that they know that they're not a disappointment, that we all make bad choices if outside of Christ Jesus.
Yes.
There has to be balanced.
Yes.
Or they'll be one of the ones that end up running away or ending it all.
Yes.
You made an excellent point about those boys clubs, YMCAs. We had those. They're still around, but they're so watered down, I wouldn't send my kid there.
Yes.
Because they're teaching worldly things at best, right? Everything that goes against the Word of God, that's what they're teaching. Young men's Christian, remember? You don't hear them say that part anymore. The C is kind of dropped.
Hey, Ray.
Yes.
You used to go to the YMCA down there on Clark, didn't you?
The one on Livernois.
Yeah. Oh, Liberty, the one on Clark?
Oh, yeah, the one on Clark, too.
Clark. I was a member there.
Yep.
No, that's always been a dream of mine because, you know, down at the park all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And you see all the young kids. Well, you got the baseball and the soccer and things like that. They got boxing. And I was just thinking, how many young people could be touched if that place was back in operation?
Oh, yes.
You know? And, you know, so I go by there, Lord, I don't know if it was me or somebody else, but bring me the money so we could tear this thing down.
Today's offering will be.
So, hey, I believe for big things. I really do. You know? I believe for big things. And, you know, every time I go by there, I just think to myself, because they had a pool in there.
Yes.
They had the basketball courts.
Yes.
If you had
weight room,
and the thing is, if you had somebody that running it right,
yes,
it'd be totally different.
Yes,
but you get people sometimes, you know, they're not coming from a godly perspective. They want to help out,
mm-hmm.
you know, but then it starts getting off track real quick. So I just know every time I go by there that I look at that thing, man. Building's about 5 or 6 stories.
Yes.
And everybody from down in the area is always talking. Well, I used to go to the Y. We'd hang out there. We'd go play basketball.
Yeah.
We'd do this. We'd do that. And I just think, man, so many kids down there, if they had those memories,
yep.
you know. And once again, you may not have had a father, but you could go down there and there were men or women down there
yep.
that
exactly.
could act in that role as a coach or as a, you know, a counselor or whatever.
Yes.
What stopped that place and what shut it down was in the
1980s, the city of Detroit decided that the upper part wasn't being used and turned it into a halfway house.
Yes.
You get out of prison, you go there.
Yes.
The whole 2 top floors were people that just got out of prison. Some of them child molesters. And I'm going to send my kid there? No. Again, they're the government stepping in and ruining something that was working great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, you got Kenny already. Yeah.
You know, what we're seeing is kids that have been raised in a godless home.
Yes.
Look at the politics. So even though they might not fit this criteria of these statistics, just the fact that they were raised in a godless home or forsake God, this is what we're fighting against now.
Mm-hmm.
And if they can't make it look like this, they're going to make it look like they're successful.
Right. Yes.
In the eyes of our kids. That this is successful, that we care about your issue, no matter if it's going to take you to the pit of hell or not. You know, you have your rights, you have your choice, but they make it look successful. That's what they're selling is success. They claim success in the midst of what you look at as completely foolishness and depravity, and they're still selling it as this is the successful life. You guys need to turn around and follow this. You know, and they want to portray that in Hollywood and everything else that this is what it is. And that's a lie from the pit of hell. It goes both
yeah.
ways.
Yeah.
They're going to try to make it look like this is the pit of hell. It goes both ways. It's about putting God back in our life. We are the church. It's the people. It's about taking this and understanding what is it that Ray's talking about. He's talking about rededicating your life, your walk, examining what you're doing, what you're not doing, taking count. It's just not another teaching. If it's just another teaching, yep. then we might as well go golfing with Pastor Don. We'd enjoy it much more. If there's not going to turn around and truly be watered down seed planted in the ground, then what's the sense of it? Wake up. Make sure that that soil is being tilled and plowed, which is there again, a privilege. A privilege to be used by God. It's something that you have to understand. And then that understanding has to be backed up with action. We can't leave here and say, that was a great teaching, I understand, right?
Okay.
And not have no action to it. That's what the world wants. That's what these politicians want. There's no action to what it is that we claim to understand. If you understand it, that means you're going to have to put your life out there. There's only one life worth living, and that's the life of Jesus.
Yep.
Not anything that we gain in this world. You're not going to take any of this stuff with
no.
you. The only thing that's going to go with you is the very life that Christ gave you and filled you with.
Amen.
Amen.
The last one here is, getting or staying away from the presence of God, we are more likely to sin and commit a crime. Teen pregnancy, we don't seek our Father's guidance. We are spiritually unprepared. And we see that all, you know, I mentioned that earlier. You know, they think that they're ready. You know, at a very young age, you know, I was a father when I was, by the time I was, 19? Did I know what I was doing? I had no idea.
According to your wife, you still don't know.
Still clueless.
That's why you got married.
You know, when I was, I got married before. All right. So these kids nowadays, they have no idea what it is to be a parent. They think they do. And again, it's based on what they see, you know, on Hollywood. That's just glamorous. It's beautiful. And, you know, I'm just going to have so much fun doing this. And they have no idea.
A young girl who played softball for me a couple of years ago. She's always down at the park, live right down there. So she tells me last week, "Coach, I'm going to San Diego. I'm going out there. I'm going to get a job. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that." Hey, I'd love to go to San Diego. Beautiful weather, you know, right on the coast. So I said, "Hey, well, okay." And I'm thinking in my mind, "All right, what are you going to do out there? What, you know, you got money saved. What, you know, what plan do you have?" No plan. So I see her mother the other day. I go, "How's B going?" "Oh, she's depressed. She says she's coming home. She misses me so much, you know." And once again, a young kid who, and unfortunately for this young girl, when she first came aboard, she kept going to the court because she had been raped by an uncle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no dad in her life that I'm aware of. It's always her mother down there, you know. But, you know, I had a laugh, though, because like you were saying, you know, got all these plans. We know how to do it. I'm going out there. I'm going, you know, going to be a movie star or whatever. And, you know, it's coming back with the tail between the legs.
Yeah.
But learns a valuable lesson through it, too, you know.
Yeah.
You know, we all know somebody or have experienced the situations that Ray's talking about. But what we also need to know is God is a God of redemption. He's able to redeem every situation. He's able to bring restoration to those situations. That when those people see that, right, they fall into that trap that there's no hope for me. There's no redemption. There's no restoration. You know, this is it. This is my life now. You know, and that's why you see so many suicides and they go to drugs and they go to every little thing trying to find that, where they need to know that there is restoration. There is redemption in God. Restoration, and it's beautiful. It takes time.
Yes.
You know, and it's harder to unchange the behavior of adult kids than little kids. That's why it's so important when they're little to turn around and do it. Because when they're adults, they're like me. They don't listen. You know, they get hit on the head a lot of times before they're like, okay, 39 times around that mountain's enough.
Yeah.
No, we don't need even numbers.
No.
You know,
that's
but God true. Is a God of redemption. That's why we're all here.
That's true.
You know, he redeemed us. He redeems our qualities that we have, the giftings that he has. He's going to draw out of us.
Uh-huh.
And he's going to strip away the ones that we don't need if we allow him. And that's what I like about it, is that he's still not done with me. He's still redeeming my qualities, the ones that he's given me.
Amen. You know, a lot of times, you know, you see that kids are doing something and, you know, oh, it's so cute. Look at that. He's pulling the hair off the dog. That's not cute. That's not cute. Because guess what? Let him keep doing that. He'll grow up thinking it's okay to do that. And then he started pulling the hair off of something else and getting into more trouble and more trouble. And now the cops are at your door because your son or daughter became a statistic. Because we thought it was cute what they were doing at a very young age. You know, God says he disciplines those he loves. We love our kids, right? Can't always just let them do what they want to do, right? There's a discipline that goes, it's like Kenny said, there's a balance that we have to do. You know, and all that comes from making sure that we are connected to God and let God be the one to show us. And he does. He gives us his word. You read the Bible, it tells you exactly what you need to do. Yeah, sometimes we need to discipline our kids. The government says don't do it. My mom said, really? Watch this. Didn't work with my mom. And my baby brother's back there laughing. He knows exactly how that went. So all these stories that I tell you about my mom, believe me, I can back it up. My little brother's right there. He was spread out because he was the youngest, so he didn't get a lot of that. He didn't get in so much trouble. No, he wasn't spoiled, believe me. He wasn't spoiled. It says abuse or neglect. To understand that we may have people ignore us because of our love for Christ. To be neglected by our relatives or friends because of our faith. Does that happen? You get relatives that really don't want a lot to do with you because of your faith? More likely to abuse drugs or alcohol. If we are not in our Father's care, then we will allow the enemy to fill our thoughts with things that can physically and spiritually destroy us. If we're not seeking God, plugged into God, seeking His Word, His presence, being involved in everything that's godly, then the enemy is gonna just be all over you. And then we want to try, like, Lord, where were you? I was right here the whole time. You're the one that walked away. Doesn't that happen a lot of times? We try to do things on our own, and then we want to blame God. Where were you? If we stray away from our Father's word, then we will fill our body and mind with junk, things that will not help in our walk. And the last one here is drop out, not spending time with Him in His teachings and in His word, then we are not educating ourselves. When I mean educating ourselves, and it's what God wants us to do. We need to educate ourselves in God's word. You know, and education out there is fine, but we need to educate ourselves in what God wants us to do. The great gift blessing of having our Heavenly Father in our lives. This is the good part. He says in Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. That's a promise. That wherever you go, if you are seeking God, He's there. He's always there. 2 Corinthians 6:18, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. He's our Father. You see, on those other cases, other statistics, that's because the Father wasn't there. Our Father is always there. 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. He never, never, ever, ever, ever leaves you. He's always there. Proverbs 14:26, and the fear of the Lord, one has strong confidence, and his children will have a refuge. See, in a lot of those other situations, they didn't have a place to go to. They didn't know where to go. We know where to go. We go to our Heavenly Father. Say, Dad, I messed up. That's okay, son, have a seat. I know you messed up, but I love you. And I tell you what, here's what I want you to do now. Okay, now grab a bat and start swinging in, and like a lot of these, you know, I mean, you see that on the news a lot, father shooting his son, father beating up his son. What do you think that's going to affect him, or how is that going to affect him when he grows up? Well, first of all, if he got shot, if he got killed, that's done. But, you know, being beat down like that, how do you think that's going to affect him? And that statistic where it says behavior issues, you think he's going to have any? He's going to have a ton. Okay? You think he might get into drinking and drugs and all that? There's a good chance he will. Why? He really didn't have a father. He had him there, but he didn't know how to be a real father. See, God teaches us how to be a real father. 2 Corinthians 1:3-4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercy and God of all comfort, who comforts us all, our afflictions. Isn't that great? When we're kind of down and just had a rough day. He says, Dad, whew, I had a rough day, Dad. You know, so Sebastian, and, you know, sometimes he'll come home from work, and I was like, how was work? Whew, it was rough, Dad. Pretty busy.
Made me coffee all day.
How'd you start? Had to make coffee for the Pastor Don. Did you do it right? Oh, yeah, everything has to be measured right.
I'm disciplined.
I'm filling your role. That's right. And so that we may be able to comfort those, I mean, see, we seek our Father's comfort. We seek our God's wisdom, our Father's word. And Kenny says, so what? So what are you going to do with that? Just set it to the side? Or are we going to be proactive? Knowing that there's young men and women out there that need to hear God's word, that need to know that we have a Father. You know what? He can be his Father. To know that when he runs into a problem, he's not going to have somebody beat them down. He's going to have somebody that cares for them, that shows them love, kindness. You know, come here. Says our Father, Psalms 103:13, as a father has compassion, our Father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. We have a compassionate Father. Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. His own love. We have a Father that loves us. And it shows that he demonstrated that. He cares for you. He's there for you. There's a lot of fathers that aren't there for their kids. And we go back to those statistics. And if they're not there, somebody else is going to step up. And it might not be the right education. It might be the right words, the right atmosphere, the right attitude, the right discipline. And then those kids end up being adults that are in so much trouble. And then we have them in prisons and going to these meetings because they have substance abuse. John 6:37. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. God gives us encouragement. He doesn't kick us when we're down. He sticks his hand out. Come here, son, get up. It's okay. Dust it off. Let's have a little conversation, you and I. You know, I love you. Yeah, I know, Dad. You know, I'm there for you. Yeah, I know, Dad. So let's talk. I saw that you did this and that. Let's fix that. I'm going to show you. Here's my word. See, I wrote it down for you. See, I wrote all this down for you so you can know what it is that I'm trying to tell you. Got it, Dad. I won't make that mistake again. I love you, son. Now go out there and bring some more people into the kingdom. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. He is faithful. God is always faithful. When he says he's going to do something, oh, he does it every single time. How many of us have friends or people that say, you know, I'm going to do this, and then you wait for them, they don't show up? That happens a lot. Hey, you know, I got to move tomorrow morning. I'll be there. I'll help you out. Tomorrow morning comes and John's nowhere in sight. Not a man of his word. Right, he might come up with 1,000 reasons why he didn't go there. The fact of the matter is he wasn't there. Do you really care about his excuses? Not really. No, that's an extreme emergency, like he broke his leg, then you really can't help me. You know? But yeah, I mean, it all depends on which leg, because if it was the left leg and he drives with his right, then you can help drive the truck. You might not be able to pick up anything, brother, but you can help me drive the truck.
Amen.
Right? So there's still something positive he can do. But you know what? John just didn't show up. Right? It says, he is a giving father. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. See, I mean, there's kids that don't believe that part because they have an abusive parent, they have an abusive father. Right? He's there physically, but his heart isn't right. His mind isn't right. And a lot of times because he didn't have a father in his life. So he doesn't know how to really relate. But see, we have a father that's always there for us. He's so compassionate. He loves us. He encourages us. He's faithful, and he's a giving father. Amen. If we pray to him, believe me, God knows what you need. He don't need you to give him a whole list of what you think you need. He knows what you need. And half the things you think you need, you really don't need it. You just want it. Right? But God knows what you need. Right? Our Father knows how to take care of us. Right? He is the best Father. You know, he'll never leave you. I mean, look, these are just some of the things that our Father is. These are some of the things, you know, he's compassionate, he loves us, he encourages us, he's faithful, he's giving. So what do we take from this? We need to make sure that we're connected to our Father so that we can be a father to kids that don't have one. And spiritually speaking, there's a lot of them out there that don't know who God is. And we have that responsibility. You know, and that, like Kenny said, I mean, that's a great blessing that, you know, that those are doors that just open, right? Great opportunity. It's not a problem. It's an opportunity. We have the list. We know that there's kids out there that don't have any of this, that don't have that father figure. Let's be a father figure. Let's be a mentor. You got all these professional athletes that go on TV. I'm going to be a mentor. Why? Because you got the cameras in your face?
So it's like a down by parole officer. I'll be over there to help you with your kid.
And a lot of them do it. Yeah, exactly. A lot of them do it just for the recognition. You know, as Christians, we do what because we want the kingdom of God to keep growing. And we want them to have what we have, to have that Father that's always there for us. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. That's all I have. We have prayer downstairs. Amen.